We are continuing looking at the I am statements made by Jesus in the Gospel of John. We're on the sixth of the seven I am statements that we are looking at that are accompanied by other metaphors or word pictures that are meant to bring greater clarity in understanding who Jesus is and how we are to relate to him as I am. I want to remind you as we get started this morning that each of the I am declarations that Jesus makes here in the Gospel of John are meant to be statements revealing to us his adequacy over and above our inadequacy. They are meant to be statements confirming for us that he is more than adequate. That he is more than adequate to meet our deficiencies. That he's more than adequate to meet and supply our needs. As I am is God's way of telling us, you are not able, you are not capable, you are not going to be adequately supplied, but I, through being God or in being God, Jesus is saying, will be able to supply all your needs, will be able to take care of you, will be able to provide for you. That is why Paul says in Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It's because that is who God is. He is a God who is a need meter. Amen? And I hope that you know him that way. I hope that you are in a relationship with God where you could give testimony that my God is a need meter, that my God meets and amply supplies my every need. Not that he always gives us what we want, because there are times when we want things that we don't really need, and God knows that and God understands that, but God has promised that I will meet your every need. Jesus being I am provides for my being I am not, for your being I am not. And that's what this series is all about. And today what Jesus is going to show us is that as I am, I will meet your every need when it comes to your salvation, when it comes to the hope that you have of eternity or the hope that you have of eternal life. Everything that is necessary for your salvation is met through I am who is Jesus Christ. And that is why today's focus is I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is Jesus's declaration to us this morning. So if you're taking notes and you're wanting to follow along, in John chapter 14, we have Jesus's declaration. This particular I am statement is found in John chapter 14, verse 6, one of the probably most well-known declarations, or one of the most well-known verses, probably very popular, not very far behind John 3:16, but is John 14:6, where Jesus says to him, or Jesus said to him, the him, by the way, is Thomas the disciple. You might just win some trivia money with that one day, so take special note of that. Someone goes to John 14:6 and said, hey, who is the him that Jesus was speaking this to? And then you just might win big money, or you might just win a game. I don't know. You might win a game at home. But Jesus said to him, Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus makes this great I am declaration in response to a question that Thomas, the disciple, had asked. The disciple's hearts, it tells us in verse 1 of chapter 14, are troubled. And the reason why the disciples' hearts are troubled is because Jesus has just told them that he will be leaving them soon, and that where he is going, they will not be able to come, at least not right away. Jesus has told them that he's going to go and prepare a place for them, that place is in his father's house, and not to be troubled, because in his father's house there are many rooms, there are many dwelling places, and that Jesus is going to go and prepare a place, and that then he will come again and receive them to himself. And then in verse 4 here of John 14, Jesus says, "And you know the way where I am going." And it's in response to that statement, "You know the way where I am going." So he says, "I'm about to leave you, and where you or where I'm going, you can't come, at least not immediately. You're not going to be able to follow me, at least not right away. But you know where I'm going." And then in verse 5, Thomas says to Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" And it's in response to this question, how do we know the way, that we have one of the greatest declarations in all of Scripture. For in verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." By the way, a little side note here. This is a great example of why we should never be afraid to ask questions. Right? Sometimes we're afraid to ask questions because we think it will show our ignorance, or it will make us look dumb, or it will make us look silly, and it might bring ridicule from others and things of that nature. And so sometimes we might have a question, but out of fear of exposing our own ignorance or looking stupid or feeling stupid or being ridiculed for maybe asking the question, we simply don't ask. And I'm sure that Thomas asked a question that the rest of the disciples all probably had as well. They probably all had the same question. "Well, Jesus, we're not really sure what you're talking about. We're not really sure where you're going, let alone how we are to get there. Especially if you're leaving us. How are we going to know the way? How are we going to know how to get there?" And it's because Thomas was willing to ask the question that we have one of the most profound truths in all of Scripture. Don't be afraid to ask your questions, especially where God is concerned. God is not afraid of your questions. Ask your questions. And it is in our asking that we best position ourselves to learn the right answers. Well, let's take some time to break this declaration down this morning, this declaration of "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Because what does Jesus actually mean when he says, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life"? Let's break those down and look at what it means. And that's Roman numeral number 2. If you're taking notes on your outline, we'll take each part of this "I am" statement as it appears. "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." So let's discuss first what Jesus as the way means. What Jesus as the way means. Primarily, and first and foremost, it means Jesus is the only way to be saved. When Jesus says, "I am the way," he is saying that he is the only way to eternal life in heaven. He is the only way to the Father's house, of which he was speaking about in verses 2 and 3 here of John chapter 14. Jesus as the way is an absolute statement of exclusivity. Make no mistake about it. This is a statement of exclusiveness. Jesus is not claiming to be a way. He is claiming to be the way. As the way, it is through Jesus alone that we are brought into a right relationship with God the Father. This is why Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father but through me." The Greek word for "no one" is the word "oudais." And it literally means no one, not one, none, or nothing. So it couldn't be more clear. Jesus says, no, not anyone, not no one, nothing. There are no exceptions. Udais is a powerful negating conjunction in the Greek language, and by definition, it rules out all else, and it leaves no exceptions. So when Jesus declares, I am the way, and then says, no one comes to the Father through me, he is saying there are no exceptions. No one, not one person, not one exception will gain access to the Father, will have entrance into the kingdom of God apart from Jesus Christ, apart from a saving faith relationship with Jesus. There is salvation in no one else. That is what Jesus is saying. And this is exactly what the Apostle Peter reiterates for us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, when he says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Guess what Greek word is used for no one else here in Acts 4:12? When Peter says there is no one else, or there is no, there's salvation in no one else, it's the word udais, saying that there's no exceptions. It's not Jesus, and then maybe another exception or two outside of Jesus. No, it's saying there is no one else by which we have salvation. It is only in Christ, who is the way that we are offered eternal life, that we are offered salvation and the hope of the kingdom of God. The reason Jesus is the only way to salvation is because sin is every person's greatest problem, and Jesus is the only solution to that problem. See, we all have a problem, or we all have a situation. And it is that we are all sinners. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. Every single person in the world has a sin problem. We have a sin virus, if you will. You know, everything about the news today, everything about our world today is this COVID-19 virus. And we're constantly hearing the numbers of people that are infected with the COVID-19 virus. Well, here's a reality, is that every single person is infected with the sin virus. Not one of us are exempt. Every single one of us has this problem. The Apostle Paul, who is the author of Romans, says as much in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, when he says this, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Paul is saying that mankind's biggest problem is the fact that we are all sinners. Through the first man, Adam, sin entered the world, and because of sin, there is death. We have all inherited a sin nature from Adam. From Adam, who is the head, if you will, of the human race, being the first man. So that we are all sinners and are all alienated from God, and we rightly deserve God's judgment and God's condemnation. And that is a big problem. That is our number one problem, is the problem of sin. And the solution to that problem is Jesus. And he's the only solution. He's the only solution. There is no other solutions. There is no other remedy to this sin virus. Jesus is the only remedy. He is the only vaccine, if you will. There is none other than Jesus. This is why in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says this, for if by the transgression of the one being Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Whereas death reigns through Adam, life reigns through Christ. The remedy to the problem of sin and death, or the reverse to the curse of sin and death, is Jesus Christ alone. Paul tells us this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, when he says, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." Jesus is the only solution, because there is no other payment for sin that satisfies and appeases the wrath of God other than the payment that has been made in Jesus Christ. The reason for the exclusivity in Jesus Christ as the only way to salvation and eternal life is because there has only been one payment for our sin that satisfies God's wrath against sin. And that payment is Jesus Christ himself. There's no other payment. No one else has made a payment on your behalf and on my behalf that has satisfied God's wrath where sin is concerned. It is only in the payment that has been made through Jesus Christ, and this is why he alone is the way, or why he alone is the remedy, he alone is the solution. This truth is clearly stated to us throughout Scripture in places like Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 25, where we read, "For all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." So a redemption has been made, a payment has been made, if you will, by Jesus Christ on your behalf and on my behalf, so that that payment, that redemption, has now satisfied God's wrath. Because verse 25 of Romans 3 says this, "Whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith." So a propitiation is just an appeasement. It's an appeasement of wrath. It's an appeasement of God's wrath for sin. And that appeasement has been made only because of and through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're told this again in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, where it says, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." So how are we justified? How are we made right with God? How is that wrath against our sin, that eternal judgment against our sin, satisfied? Through the blood of Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. Confirms this for us once again when it says, "He himself," Jesus himself, "is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." The whole world, the entire population, our only hope, our only remedy, our only solution to our sin problem is Jesus Christ. There is no other remedy. This is why Jesus is the way. Being the way means Jesus is the only means to salvation, and it means knowing Jesus is the only way to knowing the Father. You want to have a relationship with God the Father? Jesus says, "It is only through me that you will have that relationship." That's why it says, "No one will come to the Father but through me." You want to know God the Father? It only happens in relationship to Jesus the Son. This is why Jesus not only says, "No one can come to the Father but through me," but in verse 7 here of John 14, Jesus says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Because to know Jesus is to know the Father. In verses 9 through 11 of John 14, he says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." To know Jesus is to know the Father. You can't know the Father without knowing the Son. Or to say it positively, to know Jesus is to know the Father, and to know the Father is to know Jesus. They are inseparably linked. You can't have access to the one without the other. This is what it means for Jesus to be the way. It means he is the only way to salvation. He's the only way to being in an everlasting and eternal relationship with God, the Father. Let's look next at what Jesus is the truth means. Jesus says, not only am I the way, but he says, I am the truth. This is another absolute statement. We live in a society, we live in a culture that wants to deny absolute truth. When it comes to morality, ethics, spiritual truths, spiritual realities, most of the world, most of our culture says there is absolutely no absolute truth. In that statement alone, however, an absolute statement is made. Correct? To say there is no absolute truth is an absolute statement. It's as ridiculous as walking into a Spanish class and declaring in Spanish, no hablo una palabra en español. Did I say that right, Stephanie? Which in English means, I don't speak one word of Spanish. Right? That would be a ridiculous statement for you to walk into a Spanish class and in Spanish say, I don't speak one word of Spanish. You would be contradicting yourself because you would be in Spanish saying something in Spanish. So for us to say, or for anyone to say, there is absolutely no absolute truth contradicts exactly what you're trying to say. The reality is there are absolute truths in our world. There are absolute truths in math. There are absolute truths in measurements. There are absolute truths in money. There are absolute truths in science. There are absolute truths in ethics. There are absolute truths in morality, absolute truths about what is right and what is wrong. Absolute truth does exist. Society would collapse without absolutes. God is an absolute truth. And as God, Jesus is absolute truth. And when Jesus declares, I am the truth, it means Jesus is the truth about God. Jesus is the truth about God. In no one else and at no other time have we ever been given clearer and more definitive understanding about who God is than what we have in the incarnation and in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus embodies the truth of who God is. He is the embodiment, the reality of who God is. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his nature. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 tells us, for in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. As the truth, Jesus is the truth about God. If you want to know and have a right understanding of the person of God, then look no further than Jesus Christ, because he is the embodiment of the absolute truth of who God is. And when Jesus says, I am the truth, it also means Jesus speaks truth. Every word, everything spoken by Jesus is absolute truth. If Jesus said it, it is true. It is absolutely true. As God, Jesus cannot lie. It would be a violation of God's very nature to lie, and God cannot violate his nature. That's why Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says that God cannot lie. And as God, Jesus cannot lie. As the truth, Jesus only speaks truth. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that his very purpose in coming to earth was to speak truth. So I put on your outline, Jesus's purpose was to testify to the truth. He said as much. He said, that's why I was born. That's why I came, was to testify to the truth. You go to John chapter 18, verse 37, and Jesus, in speaking to Pilate, says, for this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everything about Jesus testifies to the truth. Everything about Jesus speaks to the truth. This is because Jesus is truth. I am the truth means Jesus is truth. Jesus is the embodiment, and everything about him is true. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. Everything about him is true. He is trustworthy. He will never mislead you. He will never guide you astray. He will never take you down a wrong path. If you trust him, if you follow him, you will know that you are absolutely 100% all the time being led in truth. Never a lie, never a deception, never a wrong turn, never is he going to go, oops, sorry, messed up, shouldn't have sent you that direction, I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing, or I wasn't thinking very clearly. Never will that happen where Jesus is concerned. He will always only lead you in the truth because he is truth. He's the embodiment of truth. This is confirmed for us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, where we are told, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is what? True. That is who he is. He is true. As a matter of fact, Jesus's name is true. There are a lot of names given in Scripture for who Jesus is. One of those names is the name True. If you go to Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, it says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true. Because Jesus is truth, because his very name is true, he will never mislead us, and he will never disappoint us. You will never follow Jesus and go, that was a mistake. I wish I didn't do that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. I love this verse because it says, for this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. Jesus is the choice stone. He's the precious cornerstone. And then it says, and he who believes in him will never be or will not be disappointed. When you believe, trust in, follow Jesus, there is no disappointment. There is nothing in Jesus that will ever mislead us or disappoint us. This is why he tells the disciples in John 14, 1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He's saying, don't let your hearts be troubled, because if you just believe in me or put your faith in me or trust in me, there's no reason to fear. There's no reason to be troubled. There's no reason to have anxiety. There's no reason for worry. There's no reason for doubt. There's no reason for concern. There's only reason for peace, because I am truth and I will lead you in truth. So Jesus is saying, just trust me. Put your trust, your faith in me, the one who is truth, and you will not be disappointed and you will not be led astray. And then lastly, let's look at what Jesus as the life means. Jesus says, not only am I the way and am I the truth, but he also says, I am the life. And we don't need to spend a whole lot of time on this particular aspect of Jesus being the life, because we looked at this last week when Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. But let me just remind you, when Jesus says, I am the life, it means Jesus is the possessor of life. The eternal, abundant life of God resides in Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't say, I have life. He says, I am life, or I am the life. In Jesus is where life resides. Jesus possesses life in himself. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 tells us, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It is in him, because Jesus possesses life. Eternal life is in Christ. Back in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus tells the disciples, it is Or it is in my Father's house, he says, that are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And so Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he's going to prepare a place for us, not in the sense that, oh, heaven is not ready, or heaven is not prepared, or heaven is in disarray, or heaven, you know, needs some fixing up. He's going to prepare a place for us in the sense that he was going to lay down his life as a payment, as an atonement for our sin. He was going to defeat death and rise again and reverse the curse of sin and death. And that way, he's preparing a place. He's preparing the way for us to be able to go and have eternal abundant life. And then notice what he says there in John 14, verse 3. He says, I will come again and receive you where? To myself. And why does he say, I will receive you to myself? Not I will receive you into heaven, but he says, I will go and prepare a place for you and will come again and receive you to myself. It's because Jesus is the very embodiment of eternal life. You want to have eternal life? It is in connection with him. Where he is, that is where eternal life is. That's what makes heaven heaven, is because Jesus is there. It's because God is there, because in God, that is where eternal life dwells or resides. And all who are connected to and in relationship with Christ will have life in connection to Jesus. You think about what eternal life is, an abundant life, and it's Jesus Christ. And as the possessor of eternal life, it means Jesus is the distributor of eternal life, or he is the distributor of life. As the one who is life, Jesus is the one who gives life or distributes life. John chapter 5, verse 21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we only have eternal life when we receive it from him. When we receive it in connection to him, by trusting in him as the way and the truth and the life. So let me close with two final questions. Question one, are you trusting in Jesus alone for your salvation? There is not, and I've said this before, but I want to say it again. There is not a more important question that you will ever answer than that question. Everything about your eternity is dependent upon the answer to this question. Are you, or if you want to personalize it, am I trusting Jesus alone for my salvation? If you are watching and you're listening this morning, please know and understand that there is no other way to heaven. There is no other means to eternal life, and there is no other access to the Father but through Jesus the Son. The verse that I like to share probably most with others, especially those outside of the faith, those outside of the kingdom of God, is 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13, because I think it is the absolute most clearly stated definition of eternal life. And it says this, the testimony is this: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So there is eternal life. It's been given to us by God, and where is it? It's in the Son. And then here's what verse 12 says. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And to me, that is the absolute clearest verse, clearest statement of eternal life in all of Scripture. You have the Son by receiving him, by accepting him, by trusting in him. And as a result of having the Son in your life, you have eternal life. Very clearly stated, he who has the Son has life. Has what kind of life? Eternal life. We know it's eternal life because of what is just talked about in verse 11. If you do not have the Son of God, if you do not have through faith, you have not received him, you've not trusted in him, you've not put your life in his hands by committing yourself to him and accepting him as the way, the truth, and the life, then you do not have life. You don't have it. It's that simple. You're not going to earn your way there. You're not going to work your way there. You're not going to get there by following anyone or anything else. You will only have life if you have the Son. If you don't have the Son, then you do not have life. And in verse 13 of 1 John 5 says, I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. You want to know that you have eternal life? You want to know without any uncertainty, without any doubt? You want to know 100% that you have eternal life? We can know. And we can know because we have received, believed in, placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And then the second question is this: are you sharing with others that Jesus alone is the way of salvation? For those of us who have received Christ and are trusting him daily as the way, the truth, and the life, we've been commissioned by him to share this absolute truth with the rest of the world. In John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus tells his disciples, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. We have been commissioned. We have been sent to proclaim the absolute truth to the rest of the world that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We have the vaccine to the sin virus that every single person is infected with. You know, every day, these days, you turn on the news. Usually the opening headline is how many more people have been infected with the virus, the COVID-19 virus. And I told you a while ago that the number of people infected with the sin virus is 100%. 100%. And yet, though there's no vaccine for COVID-19, there is a vaccine for the sin virus. And you have it if you are in Christ. And you've been commissioned to share it. Imagine with me for just a moment. If you had the means, if you had the intelligence, if you had the money, if you had the knowledge to come up with a vaccine for COVID-19, and you just said, you know what, I think I'm just going to keep that to myself. Yes, there's thousands of people dying around me with this, and I could help them if I shared this vaccine, but I'm just going to keep that to myself. How incredibly selfish would that be? And yet, for many of us, that's exactly what we're doing with a virus or a disease called sin that is far more deadly and lethal than COVID-19. We have the virus, vaccination for sin. And it's the way, it's the truth, and it's the life, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we have been commissioned to share it. My hope and my prayer this morning is, one, if you don't know Jesus as the way, the truth, and life, then today might be the day that you would open up your heart and your life to receive him as such. And for those of us who are daily trusting in our salvation to the one who is the way, the truth, and life, I pray that we will share it. And we will share it with zeal, and we will share it with excitement and enthusiasm and purpose, and be zealous in proclaiming salvation through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would give us, as your people who are in Christ, that you would give us a zeal, that you would give us an absolute conviction to know that you have sent us to be proclaimers of the truth, of the one who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life. And I pray that you would help us to be zealous proclaimers, sharing the vaccine for the sin virus, the greatest problem in our society, in our world. And we will give you all the praise and all the glory for what you do, for the healing that you bring through the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.